Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalm 40, reading verse 7 and 8. "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart." Heavenly Father, please help us today. Lord, I pray as Paul prayed in one of his epistles, for those listening, that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened. Give them eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to understand, as Jesus and others have said. Please, please speak to us today. Please minister to our hearts today. And please open our eyes that we would see Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. And Lord, we're careful to give Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, all the credit. We cast our crowns, O Lord, at your feet. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, in Hebrews 10, quotes what I just read. Hebrews 10, verse 7, "Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." I've said it before, I'll say it again. The purpose, the subject, the point, the end of the matter, the whole reason for the Old Testament and the New is Jesus Christ. You can read about Solomon, you can read about Samson, King David, you can read about when they came out of Egypt and God delivered the Jews from Pharaoh. You can read of Jesus preaching on the Sermon on the Mount. You can read of Ezekiel, his visions. From start to finish, the point, the whole point of the Bible is Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he did for us, and what he will soon do here on planet Earth. When Jesus was arguing back and forth with the Pharisees in John chapter 5, verse 39, he told them, "Search the Scriptures. Go ahead and look in the Old Testament, your 22 books. We count 39, they count 22 in the Hebrew Bible. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The Old Testament, Jesus said, testifies of Christ. You understand what a testimony is. If you are witness to a crime or saw an accident or whatever, and they end up calling you to go to court, give you a subpoena, whatever, and you get on the stand and you give your testimony. Well, the Word of God, the Bible, the New Testament, of course, you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus is the subject. It's obvious. It's talking about Christ. But then the epistles, the letters after that, they talk about Christ. And the Old Testament so wonderfully talks about Christ. If you've listened to me any and all over these last 12 years, you know my manner of preaching. You know the mechanics of how I preach. Most of the time I will go to the Old Testament and pick some passage or another and show how it symbolizes Christ or prophesies of Christ or pictures him in some, we call it a type, some event or what have you, that foreshadows something in the New Testament. You know, that's pretty much all I preach. That is my method. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Again, you'll find Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. Isaiah chapter 28. Whom or to whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. And I think Paul kind of mentioned that a little bit. He said he wanted to give them, those disciples in that town or whatever, he wanted to give them something a little bit more deep, something a little bit more theological, but they weren't growing in the faith. They weren't applying themselves to study and understand the Scriptures, and he had to go back and give them milk. So this verse here talks about growing in Christ, or understanding more and being discipled in the things of God. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. As you study, you pick it up. As you read the Word of God, you pick it up. If you've read through the Gospels and you end up back in, let's say, Isaiah or something, and you come upon, let's say, chapter 9, and you'll say, hey, that's talking about when Jesus was born. You'll pick it up, or you should pick it up. But then the prophet goes on. He says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, that you may cause the weary to rest. And I'm sure that there are a great number of people listening to me that are weary in life, weary of got another bill. They're talking about maybe moving my job to India, might lose my job. All the struggles that we have, there's rest that's promised to the believer. This is the rest, the prophet said, and this is the refreshing, again in verse 12. Yet they would not hear. Some people go to church every Sunday. Some people go on Wednesday. The Word of God, I guess, is mentioned here or there. Religious things are done. May have a Bible at home and read it sometimes. But they won't hear what it has to say. And again, he's talking about the religious folks of that day, but it applies to all people in all times, that the preacher will do his best to try to teach and instruct and reprove and exhort and what have you. But people many times just will not hear. He said it's supposed to be line upon line and here a little and there a little. But verse 13, it says, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. But that's all it was. But the word of the Lord was unto them. That's all it was to them, was things, facts, religious ideas. You know, in some churches, they will pray certain prayers and say certain things over and over, over and over, every Sunday, in a Catholic church or some other kind of church, perhaps Methodist or Lutheran or something. Some churches will say, the guy in front will say, hey, Our Father, and everybody is off to the races. They know the Our Father. And they'll say, we believe in, and everybody knows what they're supposed to say, and they, again, people are off to the races. It's something they repeat again and again and again, line upon line, but that's all it was, Isaiah is saying. It's just things that we say when we're supposed to. And they miss Christ. They miss him. But the word of the Lord, that's all it was to them, was precept upon precept and line upon line, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Religion, religious duties, prayers that are prayed over and over and over again, you'll miss Christ often. And instead of helping you live for God, it becomes a snare or a trap. And Satan is able to take you and lead you away from God. You know, quite often the Bible is a hard thing. It has a hard message sometimes. There is the message that will cause the weary to rest. There is the gospel that is refreshing. But if you won't hear, if you won't hear, or if all it is the same thing over and over and over every Sunday and you get bored with it, you'll miss out. You'll miss out. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 49. And he said unto them, and this is Jesus speaking after he was resurrected, these are the words that I spake to you while I was yet with you, before I had been crucified and risen again, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. All the things that were written in the Old Testament, he said, concerning me. Again, as I said in the beginning of my sermon, the point, the subject, the whole point of the Old Testament is to see Christ. Because in the volume, in the whole thing, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, Jesus said. But it says in verse 45, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, that behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He says, look, the Old Testament said I would live a perfect life. Oh, and by the way, I would be born of a virgin. It said that I would heal the sick. It said that I would preach. It said that I would cast out demons. It said that I would do all of these things. It prophesied, the Old Testament prophesied that I would do all of these things and more. And it also said that I would be arrested and betrayed by Judas. Didn't know his name in the Old Testament, but we knew he would be betrayed. It said in the Old Testament that he would be crucified, put in the tomb, and that he would rise from the dead 3 days later. It said these things, and then the things happened. And again, this is right after his resurrection. He instructs the disciples and gives them understanding. He explains it. And he says, okay, now, it's time for you, after you get full of the Holy Ghost, it's time for you to go preach and tell everybody on planet Earth what it says in the volume of the book where it's written of me. If I had time, I'd go to Hebrews chapter 4. I got a whole section here that I don't have time for, but it talks about that rest that's available if we'll listen, if we'll try to see with spiritual eyes, if we not get lulled to sleep with the repetitiveness that might be in our churches, the same prayer every Sunday. Don't let it be just a bunch of religious things that are done, and one prayer is said, then, well, we know what the next prayer is going to be, because we've seen this movie before. Don't let it be that. Hear what it says. Don't just mumble it over and over and over. Hear what the Word of God says. But Hebrews 4 talks about, yes, there is a rest in your souls that you can have. And it talks about in verse 12 that the Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful. And it's sharp enough to do something in your heart. It's sharp enough to reach into your heart and to help you to understand and help you to realize maybe that, hey, that thing you're doing on Friday and Saturday night, you need to quit. It's sharp enough, the Word of God is. The preaching of the gospel is sharp enough to help you to get your life right. Again, the Old Testament is full of prophecies, just full of prophecies of Jesus Christ and symbols and types. And I've explained types before. It's something in the Old Testament that foreshadows something in the New. Again, so many things in the Old Testament point to Christ. I want to give you two examples. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, and I'm sure that you've heard this passage before, heard it preached, and the next one I know everybody's heard about. But in Daniel chapter 2, it says Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon or whatever, he had a dream, and he said, somebody's going to tell me the dream, or all these holy men, what have you, all their heads are going to come off. And God gave the interpretation of the dream to Daniel. And he stepped up, O king, in verse 37, you're a king of kings. And then he begins to tell the dream. He says, you saw this image, this statue. It had a head of gold. Then it was a chest of silver. Belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron mixed with clay. And I know I've heard preachers on this station since I've been living in New Orleans. I've heard preachers on this station talk about this. I know that you've heard this. But he had a dream of this statue made of different materials, and then Daniel gave the interpretation. But it says that a stone came out of heaven and struck this image. And the whole thing just fell down and was ground into powder. And then that stone from heaven filled the whole earth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that that rock was Jesus Christ. That rock was Jesus Christ. And this image was a prophecy of the various times and seasons and the various kingdoms that would arise. But at the end, that stone from heaven, Jesus Christ, that stone would come from heaven. And all of the kingdoms of the world and all of the political systems of the world, they're all going to crumble. And Jesus Christ will set up his kingdom here on earth that will last forever. Again, that's one passage. That's one bit of prophecy in the Old Testament that talks about Jesus Christ, in this case, his second coming. But in Daniel chapter 6, there's a prophecy, or actually a type, that tells of Christ's first coming. Maybe you remember Daniel in the lion's den in chapter 6, and I don't have time. I'm running out of time. But it says that Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. And the king said, hey, you serve God? Well, God is going to deliver you. And then he ordered the stone to be rolled, and Daniel was shut up in the lion's den. And he spent all night. And you got hungry lions and a tasty morsel. And everybody would expect that the lions had supper and went to bed with full bellies. But it says a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den in verse 17, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, his ring. He set a seal on the stone. But not as you would expect. In the morning, they found him dead and in pieces. Then the lions may be licking a bone. But it says in verse 19 again, in Daniel chapter 6, the king rose up very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions and had him roll the stone away. And he called out to Daniel, and Daniel said, hey, I'm here. Man, don't you know lions make a pretty good pillow when you fluff them up a bit? Because God sent his angel, it says, and sustained Daniel, and the lions did not eat him. And then he goes on to talk about that God was on Daniel's side because of his innocence, his uprightness, his righteousness that was found in him. And again, I'm running out of time, but you've got the stone that was put in front of the tomb. Oh, I'm sorry, in front of the den of lions, but it pictures, it's a prophecy, it foreshadows when Christ was put in the tomb and the stone rolled and they set a guard. Just like this king here, he put his signet seal on the stone. The Romans put a guard on the stone. Daniel was only in that den for one night. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. But very early in the morning, the king went, just like in Luke chapter 24, that they rose up very early in the morning and went to the tomb of Christ, and they found the stone rolled away. You see, it's a picture. It's a prophecy in picture form of the first coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm out of time, I understand, but lo, in the volume of the book, Jesus said, it is written of me. Let it not be line upon line and precept upon precept, and that you fall backward and be broken and snared or ensnared, and your soul be taken. He said, if any man has an ear, listen. Hey, sit up and listen. Because all throughout the Bible, the book that we preach, you'll find Jesus Christ if you'll only listen.